Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Doing it live. You can ask your question in a second, Payray.
Very quick.
We're just going live.
Yes. So we have an special guest today. We have a good friend who I actually know from Sully, Tiger Safarov. Is that Safarov? Is that correct? Safarov?
That is correct. Yep.
I like Safarov. Sounds more like a spy.
Well, I honestly like Tiger more.
Dude, it's legit.
Is it really Tiger or is it more like something else?
And then especially this week. This week's a good week to be Tiger.
Oh, shoot.
What?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah. I totally forgot.
So are you, Tiger, are you in Chicago?
So I'm currently in Ocean City, Maryland.
Maryland.
Nice.
But you live in Chicago,
I've never been
correct?
There.
Or something?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Now, Tiger, tell us, because this is a very good episode. It's a special episode because I want the team to get involved with this. As much as Sully knows how much I love my team now.
Dude, I love it. Payment is on like a team.
So
be all about the team.
Right. And what I actually, before getting here, I had 45-minute traffic. So I talked to who other than Sun, my assistant. I was tell me your whole experience because I wanted the team getting, because a lot of times us dentists, the only way we make money is when patients open their mouth and we're there. That's the only time. But we don't know what's going on when we're in the mouth and our assistants are doing the ordering and doing a lot of things with our supplies, which is our overhead. Now, how much is overhead? We're going to get to that. So there's a lot of cool stuff. This is like a little snip tease of what's going to happen. Tease. So this is a good episode for anybody that gets, and I'm very, very, very picky.
Which is all about, basically millennials are all about being cheap.
Being cheap.
Unfortunately.
But also not cheap, but because we like.
No, we're all about experience.
Experience.
Impact.
Impact. So what I like, we have the whole episode. This episode is going to be about supplies.
Supplies.
And that is...
Well, whatever else the heck we talk about. Who knows?
Yeah, but I think this is a great episode for... Because I don't know shit about supplies. And when I learned how much money I spend on supplies, not just with Zen or with other company, but like, oh my God, if I reduce this by this percent, I make that much more at the end of the year. I was like, wow.
Okay.
So it's a great episode. I'm super excited to introduce our guest. Let's go. Tiger.
Tell us about yourself, Tiger. Thank you. What the heck do you do?
Just where do I start? Immigrant, came here 14 years ago, 2005.
Oh, nice. I moved 1999, so we're close.
You beat me by a little bit.
But then I kept going back and forth, but finally,
I feel like I'm the outsider as the non-immigrant here.
So we're going to put Sully aside. Me and you, Tiger, we're going to roll this.
Yeah, let's talk about
your immigrant. So 2005, where did you move from?
So Russia to Chicago right away.
Oh, wow.
The funny story, the first day, I actually flew through New York. The first day I'm in New York, my friends take me to what I later found out that it was a Brighton Beach. And they take me there and they're like, oh my God, you're going to experience the whole New York. Let's go. I'm excited. I've never been outside of my city, actually. Not like the city outside of Russia. And so we go to this place, we drive up. And as soon as I open, somebody yells in Russian, like, where the hell are you going? And I'm like, wait a minute. I just came from there. What am I doing here? It took me a couple seconds to figure out that I'm in Brighton Beach. So that was like really bad in the beginning. That's how my whole journey started.
Classic. So I want to back up a little bit because I think it gives a little bit of preference of how we met Tiger and whatnot. And you know, we had bumped into each other. Was it Voices of Dentistry the first time we met?
I think so.
The first one or something or other?
Yeah. When everybody was trying to shave your head.
Yes, that's right. Oh, when I had long hair.
Yeah.
You know, and for the background for the listeners, Tiger, tell them exactly what your company kind of does to some degree, because that's going to shape a little bit of this. So give us that overview.
Yeah. So basically, I started Zen 3 years ago, a little bit more than that, like 2015. My biggest thing is I couldn't understand why dental offices are still submitting orders on a yellow sticky note. That just blew my freaking mind, right? When I saw assistants taking notes and then I realized how much money goes through that yellow sticky note,
yeah,
I couldn't believe it. I started digging more. I realized that all these big companies are so into controlling orders and all that stuff that there's very little room to go left and right. And they made it so difficult to price compare. So my price comparison came as a byproduct of the inventory management software. So we started organizing everything into one place. So the whole premise started with, can we have one platform where you can have all your distributors in one place? That's it.
Yep.
Right? You want to do, I don't want to name the names, but if you guys want to, like any vendor, you go in, you find a product, and it's not that you're going to process the payment, but at least you can send the order to that company to simplify the process, right?
Well, what we had done, and we got in a bad habit of, from our ordering standpoint, it was a pain in the ass because if we were ordering something from, say, Patterson or Shine, it was pretty straightforward because those were like the big two companies, and like my team knew how to get a hold of those people. But if it was something like Bone, or something like an implant or something different, a little more specific that was from Salvin or BioHorizons or Newton or whoever the company is, it was harder. And those things were the things that were getting lost or not ordered, et cetera, because those had to go through me essentially because there was not like one singular area to order from. So like that was a huge thing that caught my attention at First Point Tiger was just the idea that I can order through one platform.
Yes. Yep. So that's how we started. But essentially what happened is because we started seeing all the products in one place, I'm sitting on a back end analyzing data and my nerds are like calling me, like my engineers. They're like, Tiger, check this out. Same box of gloves is by the same distributor sold $1,173 for a private practice and $673 for a GPO or the DSO.
Classic.
Wow.
I was like, you got to be kidding. I had no clue. Like, yeah, I really didn't know.
It was that kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea about this whole thing within industry.
So you saw a lot of different pricing. This is where you saw different pricing. But before that, did you also know anything about that price disruption? Like the price is different? No?
No. People tell me now about some lawsuit going on. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Some people even tell me that I have to use it to my advantage. I don't want to do it. Like, I'm not into that. But, you know, it tells you a little bit about what's going on with them.
Because I think what we actually want to start with is also talking about the history, because a lot of docs that are listening right now might not know what happened back in the day or like when your dad or before, how did they used to order? So to me, when you said that yellow piece of paper, I have no clue what you're talking about.
You didn't store sticky notes?
No.
Like how did, before you started online. Using Zen, how did they know to write, like when it was time to order something?
Where call the phone.
But like, where did they document what needed to be ordered?
Zero.
They just, when they needed something, they called every time. So they were calling every time they needed to order something.
There was an Excel sheet, but we made ourselves.
Well, so your Excel sheet was the sticky note of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every so that's how, I guess Excel. This is how illiterate we're going to go back. So where everybody can actually listen to this and be like, oh, well,
I'd argue you were pretty advanced with your Excel spreadsheet, actually.
Yeah. Most of the offices, Sally is right. Excel spreadsheet, like the most common way of managing inventory, uh-huh. like 85% of the offices in the country manage inventory there's a process called doing nothing.
Yeah.
Literally nothing. Right. Sticky notes is
also advanced.
Exactly.
We need to order this.
Exactly.
I see.
And then they take a freaking, I don't have any sticky notes on my desk, but they will take it, put it on a doctor's desk, and then you get all the journals, right? And all the magazines you put on top of it. And then Susan or Son runs up to you and says, Doctor, did you order this? You're like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
It's like, I put the sticky note on your desk. And you're like, where is it?
Dude, that
it is insane.
So many times when I first got here.
So you saw this back in 2015 is when you said you started thinking about doing
something. Yeah, I should have seen it earlier.
But how do you know? Are you in dentistry?
I was building dental offices.
Oh, so you actually had some dental background.
Yep.
Okay.
So when you... Obviously, there's a couple of ways I'm going to go with it. So one is obviously the ability to order straightforwardly was priority number one or a big priority.
Mm-hmm.
The next priority was more of the inventory tracking because that is something none of us do. And the concept of kind of moving away from the buy five, get two free mentality. Talk about that a little bit.
So I used to be very careful about it, but not anymore. When offices sign up with us, they'll be like, Tiger, how do we keep track of free goods? I say, you don't. And I don't have anything else to say. And Ops is like, oh, you're probably kidding. I'm like, no, I don't. It's the worst thing that can happen to a dental practice for a simple reason. What happens is, not to say assistants are not smart or anything like that. I love dental assistants. I will never say that. However, majority of the dental assistants are probably done with a high school. And maybe they got the associateship degree. Maybe they got the bachelor degree, right? What happens is, a dentist, very educated person, comes to a dental assistant and says, here you go, you manage this, right? That's on you. Yep. Now, the assistant, what she does or he does, it's their main thing now to save the office as much as possible. When they see someone saying 3+1 and you're going to save so much more, they automatically going to go for that. But check what happens. You need to go one and buy one box of lidocaine, right?
Correct.
One box of lidocaine. You go on some website, Patterson, whatever, right? And you see 3+1. So all of a sudden,
you get one for free.
Exactly.
That's what's up.
So, and instead of paying, let's just say $30, now you're going to pay $27. So now what happened is, instead of saving $3 on that product, you wasted 54?
Yeah,
$54.
And the reason maybe not that you didn't waste it, but you tied it up on your shelf for the next couple months.
Look, I'm an immigrant. I think it's a waste. I will tell you this. When you were a kid, Sally, and somebody puts a jar of cookies in front of you and they say, you have this for the whole day, and they put 10 cookies, are you going to eat them all at the same time?
I do. I eat them all.
Exactly right. What if I put one cookie in front of you?
I only eat one.
I probably only eat one cookie.
But if
that's exactly what happens.
I ration the cookies.
If I have 10 of them, I will freaking waste every single one.
I think I'd ration them. Maybe I'm the outlier there.
But I don't think it's an immigrant thing. I think it's more like a demand supply thing.
I get that, though. You're saying to some degree, if we've got it, we'll use it.
Right.
Exactly. The whole thing.
Or I think it's a marketing thing, right? You say, like, if you buy three, you get one. But let's go back before we get away from what the whole thing is. I think, let's go back to the basics. So we actually saw a problem, which Tigers talked about, how much the price discrepancy was from $12 in the box or whatever for glove till $6. It's the same freaking box or glove. Why are we paying different? So tell us now that what you created.
Millennials definitely don't like that.
Right. Because if you, like, for example, I'm just going to tell you, yesterday, IV extension tube, where I was wanting to shoot up and do like multiple ports. My guy, who I've been working with for 2-3 years, he gave me $280. And then next thing I know, I put that manufacturer package number into Google, and Google brings me 4 different companies that are selling it. And then one of them was $148. And it was the same number from manufacturer, everything mm-hmm. America. And I'm like, dude, you've been giving me this thing for 6 months.
Yeah. I just, you know what's the problem?
And I'm like, man, what do I do? Like, how, like this whole relationship.
Here's my take on this, guys. Like, I've been dealing with the sales reps, and you guys, both of you, when you signed up, you had your sales reps and you have the relationships. I'm all for relationships. Zen doesn't make any money on distributors. I've been super loud about it. None of the transactions, even our Zen preferred vendors, I never take a dime from them because I want to stay independent from the distributors, right? Yeah. I only make money on subscriptions. Here's what really pisses me off.
Can you tell distributors, are they distributors? Are they main companies or distributors are like Henry Schein or distributors or Nashville Dental or are those?
Those are all distributors.
They are distributors, meaning they don't produce anything.
They're all distributors, yeah.
Because honestly, I didn't even know before what they were doing.
Oh, no, I get that. Yeah.
You know,
they're private labels.
Okay.
So they're private labels that they
can. Amazon is not a distributor.
No, they are a distributor.
They are a distributor.
Okay.
The world's largest distributor.
Yeah. Sometimes people call them suppliers, but here's my problem with the reps, right? You can have the relationship with the rep. Cheers.
Cheers.
And you know, it's imagine this, Sally. Do you have your favorite rep?
Let's use Payman as an example.
Okay.
I have a favorite rep.
Okay. Let's say his name is Steve, right?
Yeah.
So let's just say Steve comes up to you and says, look, Dr. Racy, I'm the rep for Patterson Dental, hypothetically, right?
Okay.
This pen should cost, like right now, it's a retail price in our catalog, $10, right? And he says, in reality, this pen should cost $1. Now, I'm going to charge you $3.50. So the $2.50 difference, I'm going to charge for blah, 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 whatever they try to sell you. I'm going to be here for you when equipment breaks down, when you need return labels, when you need blah, 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 right? Then you have a choice. You can sit down and say, this freaking pen should cost $1. This guy here, I value the relationship. Maybe it is worth paying $2.50 for the pen. But they're doing opposite. They're coming to you saying, look, this pen costs $12. I'm going to sell it to you for $7. I'm a great guy. And they're hoping that you will never go on internet. They still think it doesn't exist and search that same freaking pen and find that it costs $1. And then everybody gets pissed.
It's so true.
Well, and I'll play a little bit devil's advocate. Most of them are. You're correct. There are some that can provide some layer of value and that they get. I mean, look, let me give my firsthand experience to some degree because I feel like
your firsthand experience is more than average. What he's talking about is average. Like,
I think mine was like super average from the standpoint of when we started. Like, I mean, because look, dad had been a buying.
Your dad should have been here. Like,
dad had always been somewhat. I mean, look, let me preface this by saying two things. First off, I want to say I love what Zen does. Huge believer in Zen. I believe in saving money and I don't want to pay a premium for things. But I do value relationships. And I still come from a mindset that my priority is more about produce more than saving money. But I have to just preface that because it's like a philosophy thing for me. Having said that, what we realized was we were at the time, dad was primarily buying stuff from Safco or third party people, the occasional thing from Patterson. They were not necessarily willing to work with us much until we finally got a new rep where the new rep came in and said, hey, I want to work with you. I want to earn your business. I'm going to, and basically from a financial standpoint, made it worth our while to drop prices down. Okay.
Yeah.
So, cause look, they can do that, right? Like that's the crazy part about this whole rep thing is the rep essentially can pick the price that you pay for what it is based off what there's an agreement there of, okay, I'll sell it for as cheap as I'm willing to sell it and you're willing to pay for it. Essentially, that's kind of the thing.
Well, how does the rep get paid?
Because they're making money off the products, right? So, okay, let's say X product is made, like Tiger said, for $2.
Uh-huh.
All right? Well, that distributor, in order, or that manufacturer, in order to not have to pay for their own people to go out and sell it, partners with the distributor.
Okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong with this time.
So that's how it works. So manufacturer works with the distributor.
And then the manufacturer has their own margin. Okay. Uh-huh. So product X costs $1 to make. Uh-huh. Right. They sell it to the distributor to $3 a piece. So there's $2 margin there for the manufacturer. Now the distributor upsells the product to sell it because they have to make money.
Right.
Okay. And so then they make money. So then they sell it to you for $10. Okay, so now there's a $10 to $3 window where, okay, Joe Blow, no nothing, maybe paying $10.
Yeah.
And then the DSO may be paying $350. So their margin's much smaller. So there's a window here so where the rep could come in and say, and what they did with us ultimately was okay. Because here's the part that we have to remember, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, Tiger. From a day-to-day busy practice standpoint, I still believe that it's super important that you have an established relationship with somebody who can service your shit.
Yeah, I agree.
Because if my suction pump goes down, okay, and I miss a week of work because no one can get me a suction in that short period of time.
Same day.
That cost me.
For me, it's the same.
That cost me thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars.
It's assembly line.
So at some point there is value, right? Now the kicker here is, well, how do we regulate that?
Can I say something very quick?
Yes, jump in, please.
That relationship, I absolutely agree with you, but it shouldn't be, you need to have a relationship to service your equipment if shit goes down, equals Shine, equals Benco, equals Patterson. There are other options available.
That's true.
100%.
That's true.
100%.
So you can have a service guy that will charge you $100 an hour to service your equipment.
Cheaper.
You can say, I'm going to give you a retainer. $500.
Hey, but we're assuming that
you're here.
But here, we're assuming that he or she knows how to deal with my equipment, my technology.
Exactly right.
That they have
other options available.
Yep. If they can communicate that okay, whether it's Plan Mecca, Kavo, Serona, whoever it is, that they're going to play with those people. that they don't have really, you know, so there's caveats to, but look, if my comb goes down, I might as well not even show up to work. Right. Some degree. I mean, like, right? So it's kind of like, there's just...
If my comb bean goes down, dude.
Like, what would you,
oh,
right?
Oh, shit.
So there's value in that. So
my office closed.
So when we first, where I really found, because look, I think, Tiger, that I love your company so much because it's making so much waves across the industry from a standpoint
it's a disruptor.
Of it's opening eyes.
Motherfucker is a disruptor.
And it needs that.
We like this stuff.
But my thing is that what really attracts me more than anything is the inventory tracking. And mm-hmm. So what I tell people is it's less about the fact that I can shop my prices and that it shows me comparisons. It's more about that I buy what I need and I don't buy more than that.
To support your philosophy, true case study. So you know how I'm crazy about going to my offices, right? I haven't been to both of you guys yet, but I'm always on the road.
Yeah, we see how it is.
I'm probably at 267 offices by now in 3 years.
How many? Okay, right? Tell us a little bit numbers. How much have you done? What's your resume?
We have over 400, but
400
I visited personally about 267. So what happened is I was not so sure about inventory until I went to this office. So I go to this office. It's called Acrewood Dental. They're in Waco, Texas, right? Mm-hmm. I used to call it Waco, Texas until I learned
Waco.
That it's Waco. So I go to Waco, Texas. And I go to see this client. So they signed up October of last year at 10% overhead on supplies. Big practice, 13 dental
how much
chairs.
The overhead should be?
So on supplies? Five.
Yeah. Five?
Yes.
Oh, shoot.
My average office should be a 4 with everything that we do. So
yours may be a little higher, though. Especially offices should run a little higher, correct?
Well, should reallocate. I just posted an article on that. The budget allocation should be different. Your implants should go as the lab expense.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. So your ortho should go as the lab expense.
So like maybe 10% is max?
No, lab and supplies together should be about 11 to 12%.
Wow. See, and that I like that number more
lab.
Because that's the number. Because like when you're a CEREC office, right, your supplies would look huge because you don't have lab bills. So really...
Yep.
I like the idea of looking at those two together. Yeah.
Yep.
So lab and supplies together.
11 and 12. 12 should be supplies.
Yep. So back to my case study. I go to these guys. They sign up in October. Within the 1 month of November, they go from 10 to 5%.
Wow.
In 1 month. I ask them, I go and I say, what happened, right? So I'm really curious. So number one reason is we started talking and they really drilled in me the concept that if you look at the 100% savings on dental supplies, right? The 80% comes from quantity and the 20% comes from saving on specific product dollar to dollar.
Yeah.
So take that example and let's just say you're buying.
Repeat that again.
Yep. 80% comes from quantity and
inventory.
20%. Exactly. 20%
Bingo.
Comes from price.
Bingo.
So huge. You can stay with your Shine, with your Patterson reps all day long. But if you have inventory management where you don't buy, like back to my example, when you need to buy one box of lidocaine, you're only buying one and you know when to buy it, right? If you're buying composite, you're only buying what you need, right? So that alone brought him from 10 to 5.
And that to me is, it needs to be a huge moment that people hit in this episode because it's not, and that's like reps are going to listen to this and that's my thing to them is like, this is not a... Screw you, reps. You don't. Now, look, I'll say this to the reps. You better bring me value. And if all your value is to bring me the 3+1 of the month, then there is no value there, right? So it is your job in this day and age to bring me more than that, okay? I'm very clear on that. But Zen is not a competitor, I would argue, to the big three and their reps. It's the fact that I would argue those companies haven't that they have not laid out a good way for us to manage inventory better that's caused the need for something like this to happen. And the byproduct of that is now I can actually, there's a little bit of transparency, which I really like, is the fact that, okay, you tell me I'm getting this deal. Was that deal for 3 months, for 2 months, for 6 months, and then it's back to whatever? Now I see, okay, what you are versus what it costs at Dental City or whoever. And it's not that, and look, I am not a cheap ass. I have no problem paying. I mean, look, I freaking buy expensive shit. I mean, CEREC is the most expensive scanner and I pay a premium for it. I'm fine with that. I don't mind buying expensive stuff,
Yeah.
but I better value why I'm paying a premium. Mm-hmm. And so, so that's the beauty of it is, to me, is I see that comparison now, and I don't mind on some certain products paying more money because I know that there's value being driven there. But if there's no value, then it is what it is.
Yeah. And there's something that you started saying that was really interesting. So something that the listeners may not know. You said $3 is how much the distributor is going to pay the manufacturer on the product.
Right.
$10 is what they're going to show retail.
Sure.
Right? So Now their reps, though, usually they will be like between 20 to 40% margin on just on distributor. Right? Now reps are getting paid out of that.
Right.
Now what happens is if the big DSO comes in, then the distributor takes that DSO to the manufacturers and they negotiate instead of $3 to $50. So they're overall lowering the prices. Now what I've learned, when I learned that, I was like, fuck that. Part of my language, I went to the manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And we just got our first deal with one of the manufacturers that we get special pricing for all Zen customers. And it doesn't matter which distributor now. Wow. So if you use Patterson, they should automatically, well, Patterson would never do that. But Dental City, for example, is one of my preferred. They automatically took that prices from that manufacturer, applied it to all Zen customers. They called me and they said, what's the margin we should put on this? That's the conversation I like to have.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's putting your clients in the front seat of
exactly
discussion of that. So here's my question then, as we start to get into kind of the minutia of this, how are the big companies playing with this? Because obviously I know from my local level, it's drawn a lot of buzz. I get a lot of people asking me about Zen. What's going on with this? What's the point? Yada yada yada. And what are you seeing and hearing as
He's
far
like
as
Martin, that? Luther King of Russia, right?
Can I tell something about Sally?
Yeah.
I respect you for a lot of things, but one thing that really is like stood out for me from the beginning, I have a lot of people calling me saying, not a lot, but let's just say a good number from all the people that we know. They say, Tiger, give me Zen for free and I'll promote it. Sally never asked for free.
Bullshit.
Never asked for a discount. Pays full price.
I made most the shit out of it. A discount.
I don't remember that. I don't think you did. I think you pay full
price.
No,
but I do pay full price. I pay whatever the.
I respect that a lot, man.
Well, whatever. Right? I mean, look, I promote shit I believe in, and I think that what Zen is I think it's great. I think it's
that
a disruptor.
Just goes back to the reason that we're having this podcast is really because we want to give back to the people that might be able to benefit from this. Because, I mean, if you're talking about the supplies,
look,
I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, I was talking to my assistant on the way here and asking her her experience.
There is a lot that she doesn't know where we're talking about distributors and manufacturers and so forth. Can you hear me? So what she was talking about was a lot more in terms of, because I have trained her a lot on third party people.
Like, for example, Net32. Perfect. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
Yep. Yep.
So Net32, for example.
I hate them.
No. Yeah, this is the good thing. I love the fact that you said you hate them, because I think Net32, not just the name Net32, but I think there are a lot of people out there that are seeing these distributors and manufacturers discrepancy where the doctor is paying so much more. Where what I notice is that how much politics goes into this where you come up with doing something that, because what you're doing really, if you're going to go back to the basic, what you're doing, you're going to make a lot of people out of jobs. Literally, mm-hmm. You're going to get a lot of reps where they're not going to get paid.
I don't necessarily think so though.
Not him per se, but Net32, a lot of these. Okay. So the way that the industry is going is not necessarily what he's doing. It's just, we are becoming more aware of how much things cost to produce, how much things should be. And then
there's a lot of transparency.
There's a lot more transparency. Now, how could you tell us more about what do we do as dentists in terms of not just relationships, but also what do we pay? Because at the end of the day, it's not about how much I pay more or less. It's more about knowing. Like, if I know how much is going on behind the scene, it makes me more comfortable. So what is your thoughts in terms of politics of this whole game?
So the politics are so let's talk about this for a little bit. So I
think it's affecting our daily. I mean, look at Amazon. Amazon business, they're dentistry. They were at DIA.
I'm glad you brought the Amazon because, so let's talk about it from different angles. Yes. And I hope it will make sense at the end. So first of all, when I started, one of the top three companies, can I really swear on this podcast?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Totally. Okay.
They don't if they've made it this far, they don't like swearing. Yeah. And I don't know.
Okay, cool. So I call Patterson and I say, hey guys, this is Zen Supplies. We only had two customers at that point. And I said, this is what we're doing. I don't remember who I talked to. And I think that person is already no longer with the company. I said, I got from them, Tiger, you can go fuck yourself with your Zen Supplies. And they hang up on it, right? That's how we started. Yeah. So then I go to other, Banker Shine and everybody else. So the problem is, they don't know what to do with Zen. It's kind of like annoying, but it's really not because we process a lot of orders. Our volume is about $2 million a month.
Yeah, and so that starts to make them turn heads a little bit about what's going on.
Exactly, right. So they're questioning that. But the thing that I'm trying to drill on these idiots is I'm trying to say, look, internet happened. I'm sorry. I didn't bring it with me from Russia. It was here way before me, right? One way or the other, internet happened. Now, what we can do is we can work together and make sure that Amazon doesn't show up on dental. But what if Amazon tomorrow will show up in dental like legit, not like they're playing?
Yeah.
But what if they buy Patterson, for example? Then what?
Game over.
Then everybody will say, forget about Zen Supplies. Now we got a real big fish to fry because this is going to be really horrible. And what Amazon will do, we all know. They're going to drive the prices down. They don't care DSO or nothing. They will take a cut. They will take a loss on the products.
They will
take over the market until Shine is out of business. Everybody else is out of business, right?
Share. Yeah.
So that's what I do. I go to these manufacturers and distributors and say, look, are we going to work together and try to make sure Amazon is out of it? And we work together.
Amazon either.
It's hard though, because you like, and I see it I see the small catechism of it on the local level, right? Because what's happening is you have one wave of reps who have been doing it for, and I quote, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's
the way. And have entitlement.
Exactly. And so that's the way we've done it. That's the way it's done. I bring this value. I expect you to do this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then you have a new wave of reps that to some degree see the writing on the wall of, okay, look, I can no longer sell that 2-day shipping is a big deal, right? Because mm-hmm. that's my expectation of normal. And if I had to pay for that, I'm pissed. So, you know, they start to see that we have to be a little more flexible and one, making sure they understand the value we bring, and two, being a little more flexible with the prices we're giving people.
And be transparent.
So you have this dichotomy of these two sides, you know, to some degree combating each other. And so that to me is the hard part is, and I can't even imagine when you go to like a corporate, you know, C-level time of that discussion, because at some point, one of those big players is going to have to play ball, you know, because our generation will push the envelope to that.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, there's still enough, you know, old school sticky note people who don't know any different, who just take the orders of the rep to walk in. They can survive off that, but that's going to change. I mean, it really is, you know, sooner rather than later, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that, you know, again, I value a rep's relationship, but to me, it has to be something more than bringing supplies, and you know, it has to be helping me save money, showing me how, hey, you're using 20 different products from 20 different manufacturers. You know, if you'll move some of these products into one manufacturer, or multiple, you know, if you'll consolidate your manufacturers, you may even get more rebates or benefits or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be some sort of level of, you know, consistency from that standpoint to drive that relationship other than just like, hey, we're friends.
Yeah.
You know, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find, Tiger, that that any progress is being made with those big manufacturers from that standpoint?
Big time, I think.
Not really.
Really? Because I thought last time I talked to you, either was it on a podcast or somewhere else, it was a lot more blockage. The thing about what you're doing, Tiger, is you're going against the regime. It's like me going in Iran and trying to fight the freaking Muslims and like the government and be like, oh, there's these people going on. So what happens is I think the problem is it's not, no, seriously, like I know what he's doing and it's so true. The problem is it's so hard to get it out there because a lot of people are brainwashed in a way. They don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
They don't see it. And no matter what you say, it's kind of like going against their religion. Oh, you telling me this is what's going on for the past 20 years in my practice? Are you kidding me? Get out of my office.
So check this out. I'll give you a real example, right? So the one thing that changed so far, at least none of these big companies are stopping the orders. Because one of the company, like Sally knows, he's been a long time. He saw my emails. Actually, two companies were trying to block the orders.
Oh, I told them, I said, look, you either accept the orders or I'll take my business somewhere else.
So yeah, the actual company that, okay, so let's talk about this because I don't think we have even mentioned it. So what Zen does, you could, it's like a platform. It's like a platform.
Centralized ordering system.
Centralized order, because we didn't even introduce this in how many minutes. But what we haven't even introduced to our audience is that you go to this place, it's a software. Is it cloud-based or is it software?
Cloud. No, it's a cloud-based.
So it's a cloud-based where I could do it on my phone versus also on my computer.
Just right. iPad and,
where you could go in and you could check out everything that your office is ordering.
Yeah.
And you could make changes, you could add in, and you're pretty much creating this whole vision.
It's a digital inventory, essentially.
Digital inventory, and also being able to order without going to the third party. Just go to one place, centralized, and order through them.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
So now...
And when you sign up, when you sign up, you're literally signing a paper saying Zen Supplies is just like Susan on my team.
Like an employee.
Exactly. Because we only get paid by you. So you're basically giving us a limited power of attorney to act on your behalf
Consultants. They're like consultants because I pay consultants to do the same thing.
Well, dude. Well, and for me, I mean, probably the best thing Zen did was when you sign up for Zen, like basically the first thing you have to do is you have to inventory your inventory.
Yeah.
Right? Like you have to go around and see, okay, how many boxes of lidocaine do I have?
Yeah.
How many boxes of, you know, Prime and Bond Elect do I have? Yeah. Or whatever the material is.
So you got to know what you're doing and then you put the numbers in.
And we threw out so much expired crap.
Tell me a little bit more about
you get bought into buying this buy four plus two, then you know you get talked into buying some random manufacturer's composite that's a change in the game, and you know, next thing you know, you've got all this inventory sitting in your shelves. One of the big things that I loved about it is our inventory from a total product standpoint probably went from over 200 different materials to less than 75. So when you talk about just the number of stuff we buy, we had four different bonding agents.
Yeah.
Like why the heck have one bonding agent, use it, stick with it.
Yeah.
Like six different composites. Like maybe you could have, two, three composites. I'll give you that.
That's so common. And think about
five different topicals.
Exactly.
Pina colada.
All sorts of shit. That alone was a huge success.
So what Zen does, it creates first to get with Zen is you have to have the inventory. You have to know how much you got stuff. Then once you actually put the numbers in Zen, now this is the questions that I'm going to start asking because now I did the Zen because I wanted to do this in a way that for folks that don't have any idea, I don't have any idea. So this is my questions. My assistants have actually been doing the whole thing for the past couple months or so. So on the way here, I asked them a few questions on the way. And what they have been doing is they are so happy that everything is centralized. That's the biggest, they're like, oh my God. So we know there's one place to go for all of these crap that they know how much shoot at, but stuff from different places. So one of the other thing is that going back to the politics, there are a lot of companies that don't allow to buy, if I want to buy things from my IV stuff, it's hard because the catalogs that they give Zen is different than the catalogs that they give me. So these are some of the questions and concerns that they were having where they're saying that it's hard because we have to do it two places. Meaning the catalogs for not just the MPS, for example, but some of the other companies, not saying implant or whatever. It is hard because they are not being able to see the numbers and the manufactured product in Zen being different than going to the actual company's website and putting that product number and being able to find it.
I'll check with your team.
You know what I mean? Like
those I think it's a training problem.
Okay, so that's one. The other thing was the shipping. Like, for example, if they are going to any company or Henry Schein or Patterson or anybody, they know the shipping is going to be happening within the day or two.
Yeah.
I think what they had problems with finding out what is the shipping. Is that also through, because what you got to do whenever you're doing what you're doing, Tiger, you're going after a lot of different, like it's such a hard thing. And I'm sure you're not the first person that thought of this. There's so many people in dentistry that have thought of this. And I think what you've done is you actually went through and did it, right? Like you actually created this whole platform. But because, no, think about it. Like everybody knew how much freaking distributors and, I mean, it's common knowledge. Everybody knows. But then what you did, you actually went against the regime and the machine. You're like, hey, I'm going to actually make this a lot easier for dentists because they should not pay for this. Like you saw it firsthand. Now, how much of it is right now in 4 years out, because you started, say, 2015, 16 to now 2019, is got better? And where do you see the future with what you're doing with the company?
I think that's a great question. I'd love to see here. What's next with Zen as we wrap things up?
So I think in the last 3 years, and I think for the next 2 years, it's going to be internal. We're like bubbling up internally, right? So imagine this, like it's a balloon, right? You're trying to blow the balloon. So the first balloon that we're trying to blow is the user experience. We've learned so much in the last 3 years. I know exactly why your people are buying Schein Patterson and not buying other products. Like I will know exactly why they're doing
it. Why is that?
Because you yell at them when you're running out of products.
I see.
Right? So stop yelling at your assistants. So number two is, you know, we know so much data and how people actually use things. So for us right now is the user experience number one. So I'm building a piece of the product that I should have done about a year ago, but I was hoping distributors will do it, but they're not doing it. So we will release that, roll it out, but we're truly trying to make it one place. But I think within the next a year, I would give it another 16 months, distributors will get to the point where it would be hard to ignore us.
Yeah.
We'll be pretty loud to say, look, I've got all the documents.
Yeah.
I am representing these people. It's not that I'm in like some third party.
Yeah.
I'm right here with the order specifically for the client. And I think the biggest advantage, the technical advantage that you guys will see is when the distributors will start integrating. Because once we have that network built in, I will show you, for example, you go into the checkout and you need to buy 4 boxes of lidocaine. I will know that Patterson has only 2 boxes at the local warehouse to deliver the next day. And I will be able to break down your order by Schein and Patterson because Schein will have 2 boxes in the local warehouse as well.
Wow.
So once we get to that, imagine the return processing returnables to do all of that through Zen and be that, have that predictable analytics, that would be cool. And I think the next part, I mean, I've always talked about it, it's not a secret. Once we connect into Eaglesoft or Dentrix or Open Dental, then the game over.
That's what I was thinking. If you could ever, like, because that is the, like the whole.
I want to break down. At the end of the month, I want to give you a report and say, Dr. Racy,
how much you spent?
I will say these are all the procedures you did. These are all the dental codes. And that's how much you spend in materials per each dental code or per each procedure.
Shoot.
And your efficiency is about 75%.
Yeah.
Against what Dr. Sali did.
No,
because he's using.
Mine is 92. His is 65.
Yeah, you guys will figure out.
But no, you're saying
that's like, where we need to go.
How crazy would that sound, though?
Be sick.
Because I'm paying dental. You have dental intel.
Yep.
What he's saying, because I love Open Dental just because he's like so freaking open. Like you could do that. But if you could actually put that freaking supply inventory in the Open Dental, or you use Eaglesoft.
Mm-hmm.
You do Eaglesoft?
Yeah.
All right. We don't talk to him. But if you do that, then imagine how much would that go freaking smooth.
to make
it be insane. It would be insane.
But do you think is that possible? Though? Do you think is that really possible? Is that more of an imagination? Like,
no, we're already working on it.
Really?
Everything's possible.
Dude, that's awesome. That is awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tiger. We put you on the spot. We asked you a lot of hard questions, and I think you still have your face in
back. We need to do this again. I miss you, Tiger. We got to catch up. It's been too long.
We do. I need to show up at your office.
I'd love
to. You got to come. Maybe we should have done this in person.
We could do it again in person.
But let's do it.
Tiger, let's be in touch. Let's chat soon because we got to catch up, and I need to just hear about life.
All right. All right, guys.
Thank you so much.
Everyone, appreciate it.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.